welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I'm your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me again is Oriol Puigdemont. Yuri, welcome to the show again.
Thank you. Thank you, Lewis. How are you?
I'm very well, Yuri. Nice to see you again. We missed you last week. We replaced you with Juan Mir.
I was there, but I didn't want to interfere.
I was more than happy for you to you never interfere. I would have been more than happy for you to be there. Well, it's been a fairly busy week already, and we're only 2 days into it, because of course we have the news that Marc Marquez is not going to be racing for this weekend's Qatar Grand Prix or the Doha Grand Prix next weekend. And I'm actually quite surprised by that, because, you know, if we look at the sort of footage of him at Barcelona and Portugal and the Honda road bike, boy, he looked, I was convinced he was ready.
I think you and all of us were convinced, even his rivals were convinced about that. Joan Mir said it to us last week. Valentino Rossi has said that. Quartararo has said that. So most of the drivers, and I think it was legitimate. I mean, it was understandable than most of us thought that he was going to race, especially, as you say, after watching him testing, despite it's not a MotoGP bike, it's really close to a MotoGP bike, the RC 213S. The street version of the MotoGP from Honda. So both in Qatar and in Montmeló and Portimao. So I think it was a surprise for all of us. The decision was taken Sunday after the last medical checks. And yeah, so, well, I think, yeah, it shows how his mental approach has changed to the sport and to his profession, which I think can be good and can make him even stronger.
He said at the launch, at the Honda launch last month, that, you know, whatever the doctors say, I'll go along with. And he's proven that this week. The doctors have said, look, it's, you know, you can't go and put, you know, stress. You can't go and do the stress of a weekend straight away. You need to give it time. And he has taken that on board. Despite the fact, I think he probably thought he was ready, you know, looking at the pictures of him, you know, he was, I remember there was a small clip on Twitter from the Portugal test where he sort of shakes his fist after getting off the bike. And, you know, Portugal is a heavy braking place. So if there's one place that was going to expose his arm, it was that, and everything looked fine. Quite an interesting comment when you say how you think it can make him stronger. Explain that a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, regarding what you say, I just want to say first that I was expecting him to participate in the first race, in the first Grand Prix, but maybe not racing on Sunday. But what I was expecting is, okay, he's going to try to jump on the bike on Friday, try to make some laps, try to get used to the bike, try to get used to the weekend's rhythm and, you know, routine, and then let on Sunday or even before, probably after FP3, FP4, decide, okay, am I jumping to the bike for the qualifying, or I prefer to wait a bit and then miss this race and then let's try again next weekend. That's what I was expecting. I mean, I wouldn't consider it that strange. But when I say that this decision will probably make him stronger, because in my opinion, maybe we will have another version of Mark, even more perfect than in the past, because last year he made a huge mistake by trying to come back after the injury. Now he will be able to calibrate the risks even more, in a way more precise than in the past. So that's what I mean when I say that we will probably have a better version than him.
That brings me on to my next sort of point, and I suspect you maybe have the same opinion on this as I do, and I know it's quite early, but I think two races out isn't going to damage Mark's championship chances very much?
I don't know. Depending on which kind of championship we have. If we have the same championship that last year, I mean, I don't know. But the I'm not sure about that. But what I'm convinced is that he will, whenever he decides to start again, I mean to start the championship, he will have less pressure than most of the others, because as he said last year, it's not the same being first than being chased by another one, and especially it's not the same being chased by Marc Márquez. So I think the pressure will be on most of his rivals, who they will have to make the most of these 50 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, exactly. And if just on that point, if you look at last year, you know, there was a similar situation at the start of the season where Quartararo had 50 points over Marquez. And okay, Mark didn't come back, but Quartararo, you can argue, didn't really make the most of that 50 points.
But it's not the same. If you fail in two races, it's not the same that not being in those two races. I mean, if you are not able to compete, or you decided not to compete in those two races, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make two mistakes, because you can make two more mistakes and then you will have four zeros instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
So you will have, half of the opportunities than the others of course, starting with two zeros is not going to help him. That's for sure. And especially because we all probably agree that he will need some time, maybe more, maybe less, but he will need some time to be at his 100%.
Yeah, for sure. I think if we, I guess the aim for him will be Portugal. You know, that's a month from now, just about. So that would give him a good amount of time to recover. And of course, given that he's done laps at Portugal, I suspect he'll do more at Portugal. That seems like the ideal place for him to come back, a track that he knows how to ride on recently.
The thing, as you mentioned before, Portugal is a very hard track from the physical point of view. And let's see how his evolution in the next weeks, because apparently his main handicap is not only the injury, but the shoulder. He's been training quite a lot on gym, and he's feeling a bit of pain on the shoulder. So and Portugal is not an easy track with all the uphills and downhill. So let's see how he. I don't think it's the best track to come back, but for sure, if he comes back, he will be convinced that he's able, he's capable of doing that.
The good news is that the Honda press release that they sent around on Monday, the doctors are happy with the way the bone's healing. So all that side of things is very positive, and that's the main thing. Because like you say, we need Mark back. The riders need Mark back. You know, he's the reference. They need to know that they can beat him when he's there.
And don't forget that if we go back at the end of last year, only two races, we all would have signed for Mark missing only two races this year, because the feeling last year was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, we thought it was going to be 6 months. He was going to be out.
I don't know if it was 6 months, 4 months, 8 months. At that point, nobody was able to say, even few people said that his career was over. So only two races, okay, three races, it is good news for him and for the whole championship. So yeah, I think that we all, in the end, of course, yesterday, I mean, on Monday, we all thought, oh, what a shame. he's not coming back on the first race. But if we look the big picture, we all have to be happy that he's going to be able to come back sooner than we all expected.
Yeah, 100%. And I think if you're not excited by that, then you really need to get over Sepang 2015, because, you know, we need Mark. We need Mark back. We need Mark because, like I mentioned,
the championship needs Mark.
He's the reference. But also, I mean, from a box office point of view, there's no more exciting a talent in any motorsport series than Mark Marquez. And to watch Mark Marquez is a privilege.
Yeah. He does things that anybody else do. So, that's why we all are missing him, and we want to give him a very warm welcome back.
Obviously, Mark not being in Qatar for the first two Qatar races, I think maybe changes the dynamic somewhat, because, like you say, the grid was sort of expecting him to come back and maybe use those weekends just to get up to speed. But now I think there might be a sort of a switch in the mind where they think, we've got two races to make sure we do the absolute maximum, so that when Mark comes back, we're not in his firing line, essentially, which creates an interesting sort of dynamic coming into the Qatar Grand Prix.
Yeah, but the problem is that there are a lot of contenders, a lot of challengers for this beginning of the race, especially after the 5 days of testing. Well, 4 days of testing in Qatar. So yeah, I think we will have a really close competition there. We all expect having a close competition there. So yeah, I think all of them. We'll try to make the most of those two races without Mark. So, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, of course, we have two races in Qatar, and the second race at a circuit traditionally has always been much more closer. It's been much more wide open. So there's no real guarantee that, I mean, apart from Jerez last year when Fabio won both of those races, we didn't really see, you know, the same sort of result from one doubleheader to the next doubleheader. So that's interesting itself, because there's no guarantee someone will leave with a 50-point buffer in their pocket.
Yeah, and here I think the, let's say the options are much more open than in any other circuits, because we all know how fast the Ducatis are here. We've seen a really, really competitive Yamahas, and I think we haven't seen the Suzukis at their full potential yet. So yeah, I think we all see, let's see what Aprilia brings to this year, and because they've been really, really fast. So yeah, that's what I say when that's what I'm trying to say when I say that there are plenty of contenders for this first two Grand Prix.
Well, we'll circle back to Qatar in a second, because you mentioned Aprilia. There was a bit of news last week that Andrea Dovizioso will be doing some testing for Aprilia. That's an interesting development, because we knew his thoughts last year about the Aprilia, but obviously it seems he's seen
Aprilia.
Testing. You've gone.
I love how they, how they try to complicate their lives. I love it. I just love it. Now they have to react now. So after bringing Lorenzo Salvadori to the test and realizing how fast/slow this guy is, now they have react. I love Aprilia. And I think Aleix loves Aprilia as well.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, because, like you say, the whole situation was messy, because they shouldn't. They asked a lot of riders to ride the bike this year, and they all said no. Then they had a decent rider there with Bradley Smith, and then they said no. It looks like he's walked away from Aprilia. If you look at his social media, all roads look like he's left Aprilia. So now they don't have a test team. Now they're stuck with Lorenzo Salvadori, who allegedly was for company reasons, and Grassini was really happy with him, but why would you put him on your factory bike when he doesn't have any Grand Prix experience apart from three races?
Yeah, Aprilia, welcome.
So that brings me neatly to Dovizioso.
Do you remember the podcast that we had in the past, signing Giannone? So that's the part 3 or 4 or 5.
Yeah, this is like one really
You just have to listen to Aleix. I mean, of course, he tries to be polite most of the times, but if you go to speak with him most of the times, I mean, all the times, yeah, most of those media sessions, he's really polite, he's really happy, he's grateful, he thanks Aprilia, blah, blah, blah. But there are 5% that you can really feel that there's something strange going on.
Yeah. What do you make of these tests for Dovizioso? Do you think this will lead to something proper?
The thing is that I don't know the Dovi's needs at the moment, because I think that other than Aprilia, there are no many options for him next year.
Yeah, I think he's realized that over the winter, that he's sort of priced himself out of the market, because he gave up a good ride at KTM. He gave up, you know, there was good test offers there for him.
And in the end, it's all about the same. I mean, it's just accepting the mistakes that everybody have done. I mean, you, me, anybody can do in the past, but he did a mistake last year in terms of management, and now he's paying for them. So, end of the story.
Mm. It'll be interesting to watch that test. To find out about that test, if Aprilia let us know anything, which they probably won't, because they didn't really let us know about Andrea Dovizioso until everyone else had found out. But that's Aprilia. Back to Qatar. I want to get your predictions. Who's going to win this weekend race? Give me a name.
If I have to say one, I don't know. I'm going to say Fabio. But
all right.
If you say Miller, I can agree with you. So,
well, I was gonna say Paul Espargaro, because I like to make kind of mental sort of slightly wider the mark predictions. But I genuinely think that Paul comes into this weekend with a good chance of the podium. And
yeah, but you didn't ask me about the podium, eh?
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I predict Paul Espargaro to win the Grand Prix. I think Fabio's quite brave, to be honest, because he looked quick, but yeah, I don't know. Yamaha. I can't make any Yamaha predictions anymore.
Yeah, but don't forget that this is the first race of the championship, and on winter and at the beginning of the championship, they've been always quite fast. I mean, Maverick showed a really, 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 really good pace. He was the pace setter in the precision test. So yeah, why not? Why not Yamaha? And
fair enough.
So yeah, I would say, let's say, yeah, I can say both, any of them, Fabio or Maverick, but let's say Fabio.
Fair enough. So you've gone Fabio, I've gone Paul. Let's be proven completely wrong by Sunday.
Yeah, probably. Exactly.
On that note, we shall end it there, and we'll go and look forward to the Qatar Grand Prix. If you like what you heard, you can go and listen to all of our other podcasts on all other podcast places. I don't know where you get podcasts these days, but you do. If you like what you read, you can read everything on Autosport, motorsport.com, and obviously keep up with us this weekend for the Qatar Grand Prix. It will be a busy one, but until then, it's a very warm goodbye, and keep looking after yourselves.